know, 15 years ago, do you remember 15 years ago? It was the concern over Y2K. Y2K. Couldn't remember the initials. But that was in the year 2000. And it's hard to believe that 15 years have passed since then. I mean, that day went by with no problems. We're now into another year, according to the Gregorian calendar, and a lot of predictions as to what this year might bring. We wonder what world event might cause a regional war. We wonder if the economy will finally come out of the slump or if it will get worse. We often wonder how much more evil and immoral this society will become. Each year, though, we do come closer to the return of Jesus Christ, but until that event comes, we need to continue to keep watching and praying. Today, what I'd like to do is look at one situation in the world and in the nation, and also what the church is going to be doing this coming year, you know, with God's direction and involvement. And so the title is The Direction of the Nation and the Church. And we see some ancient prophecies beginning to take shape because of the evil that is happening in this land. And let's look at one of those prophecies. This is found in Deuteronomy 28, often known as the chapter that discusses the blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. We'll start here. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give rain in your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, and you are careful to observe them. So we see that the nation of Israel and the descendants of Israel would be a very wealthy nation, and they would lend to others, if they obeyed God. But if they didn't, notice what we see in verse 43. The alien who is among you, and I'm not talking about the Ferengi or the Romulans or anything like that. We're talking about an alien here is a stranger or anyone who is not an Israelite, which would be a term, the Bible terms Gentiles, anyone who is not an Israelite. We see in verse 43 that the one who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you. So they come on, and then they pursue. It just continues to snowball. They'll overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments, his statutes, which he commanded you. So we see that strangers would actually come in, non-Israelites, and we, as Israel, would borrow from them, and we would no longer be the head. Our nation, as of this year, is now $18 trillion in debt. In fact, 1 year ago at this time, it was $17 trillion. So $1 trillion added in 1 year. And what's surprising is that this is according to the U.S. News and World Report on December 15th, stated that the total foreign holdings of U.S. Treasury securities reached $6.06 trillion in U.S. dollars in October. That's total foreign holdings of U.S. Treasuries, $6.06 trillion. Now, last year at this time, it was $5.65 trillion. So it's risen over the year. China is the largest foreign holder of U.S. Treasury securities. They hold $1.25 trillion. Japan is the second foreign holder of U.S. government debt. They hold $1.22 trillion. Also, according to Asian Fortune magazine on December 29th, they stated that the latest data from the National Association of Realtors that by the end of 2013, foreign buyers had increased to $68 billion worth of single-family homes. $68 billion worth of single-family homes in the United States that they own, which is 7% of the total population in the United States. According to Jones LaSalle, it's an investment firm, 10% of all capital real estate investment comes from foreign investors. According to reports by Deloitte, which is another investment firm, Chinese investors climbed up into being a significant contributor in the U.S. by investing close to $6 billion in just 15 months. So you see where the money is coming from, and it continues to rise. This comes from Reuters. This was in October of this past year. Wealthy Chinese are pouring money into real estate in New York and in some major cities around the world, including London, which is, we know, in England and is there of Ephraim. The descendants of Ephraim are there in the British Commonwealth. Sydney is another city in that same delineation as of the Commonwealth nations. They seek havens for their cash. They establish a base for their children to get an education in the West. So they're buying up these massive properties so that their children can get the best education near some of the finest universities. According to Reuters, five of the top real estate brokerages for their rankings listed foreign buyers in New York City that the Chinese ranked first, both in volume and volume of sales in their estimates. And lately they've been moving into the market and moving up the market, brokers say. For instance, the current in vogue building among the Chinese is now Central Park's 157. 157 is a new skyscraper. This is what they spend, and they do spend $18.8 million for a three-bedroom apartment. Now, I don't think we will ever see that kind of money. $18.8 million for a three-bedroom. Or if you want the entire floor, such as you want the 81st floor, you just shell out $55 million for that, for an apartment on the 81st floor. And they're doing it. They're buying these places. The building comes with all the amenities of a five-star hotel. The Chinese are venturing out into Long Island as well, where they are buying Gatsby-esque mansions set atop rolling greens. That comes from that Reuters report. But New York isn't alone. In Sydney, the Chinese are becoming the top buyers of new luxury homes. Last year, mainland Chinese were the top foreign investors in the Australian real estate market. According to the Australian's Foreign Investment Review Board, they bought $5.9 billion worth of property, accounting for 11% of the total foreign investment in real estate. Value Week last January stated that Time Warner, at that time, announced that it was close to completing a deal to sell its downtown Manhattan headquarters to a group backed by financiers in Abu Dhabi. So not only are the Chinese involved, but you have Middle Eastern investors. At that time, they agreed to finance 80% of the acquisition of the Time Warner building. The sale would mark, and I think it did go through, one of the several major American real estate purchases by foreign governments and foreign companies. And then this came out in the National in August 2008. This goes back 7 years ago now, that the Abu Dhabi Investment Council purchased 90% of Manhattan's Chrysler building for $800 million. And then Isamar, that's another one of the Middle Eastern countries, purchased $750 million of the Fontainebleau Hilton on Miami Beach. So they're getting into hotels, they're getting into buildings. And at that time in the article in the National in 2008, they were saying that they have seen Middle Eastern and Gulf nations in particular overtaking even some more of the developing countries to become foreign investors in U.S. property. Now, that was 7 years ago, so you wonder how much more that is even now. So the prophecies written by Moses, you can see there is some development there. It is beginning to occur. And there are other problems on the horizon as well. This is from the Daily Finance on December 23rd. Why low oil prices could be bad for American jobs. Now, it was great driving over to Louisville and seeing prices below $2 and then driving to Joplin and back and seeing, you know, $1.80, $1.85, something like that for gasoline. But see, according to this article, a side effect that shouldn't go unnoticed is the potential loss of thousands of jobs in the oil extraction industry. States like North Dakota and Texas have seen boom in oil-related jobs, and if oil falls much farther, drilling could dry up altogether there, pushing thousands back to the unemployment lines. It's a repercussion that could have a big impact in parts of the country. So who controls the oil? Well, you know, I think we're all aware of that OPEC basically controls it. And the Saudi Arabians have seen the potential of what is happening in the United States. They have seen that the United States could begin to gain independence and cheaper oil than can be brought in from Saudi Arabia, from their overseas oil. And Saudi wants to keep the market. They want to keep the market. So they are pumping out oil with no going back, and they keep doing it and pumping it out, and so the prices are falling. They're going to keep production up. Therefore, prices are going to fall, and therefore it will cost a lot more for the United States to extract oil out of the shale and other, you know, fracking and other processes. And so what is the United States going to do? They're going to back off. It's too expensive to do this. I mean, look at all this cheap oil. So guess what? Saudi Arabia continues to keep the major share of the oil, and the production comes from there. And so it becomes too expensive. So guess what we do? We don't do anything anymore. We rely based on all this cheap oil from Saudi Arabia. So why are we going out to try to do what we need to do for oil independence? So they're going to keep their position in the market. And I heard on the news a few days ago that looks like this, no going back for a long time until they can establish what their market is and have control of that. When oil starts rising again, the United States is going to be back in the same boat, dependent on foreign oil, because we didn't follow through. So who's the head? Who's the tail? Who's above? And who's below? Over in Leviticus 26, there are other prophecies that Moses wrote, and this is a companion chapter, Leviticus 26. And in verse 14, blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. Well, let's notice Leviticus 26 and verse 14 here. And we'll read a couple verses here. If you do not obey me, and if you do not observe all these commandments, if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will do this to you. I'll even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. I'll set my face against you. You will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will reign over you. You shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all this, if you do not obey me, I will punish you 7 more times for your sins. Indication of intensity as well. It's going to continue to get worse. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. Your strength will be spent in vain. Your land will not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And so we begin to see, I'm sure, some of these beginning to take place even more and more as time goes on. But this point of the pride of your power, I mean, it is being diminished around the world. Economically, we have now fallen behind China in GDP. Now, there was a chart that just was published by the World Bank in October. China now has 17.6 billion GDP. That's gross domestic product. And there's a little qualification here. It's PPP, which means purchasing power parity between two countries. Let's say purchasing power with the Chinese and the Americans. This is the first time America comes in second. China has 17.6 GDP with the purchasing power parity. America has 17.4 billion. So our mighty economy, it's still a mighty economy. It's not the greatest. It's not the top. It's not the head. Our military, it's quite powerful still. However, because of cutbacks and political confusion, the United States is not as respected as it once was. But there's another aspect to look at all these prophecies as they tie in together. Let's look at Hosea 7. Hosea 7, one of the minor prophets right after Daniel. Hosea 7 and in verse 1. Hosea 7, verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered and the wickedness of Samaria, for they have committed fraud. A thief comes in, a band of robbers takes spoil outside. They don't consider it in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. We just heard a sermonette about the heart needs to be pliable. But when it's rock hard, you can't drink in what God wants us to have. And Israel's refused to do that. Become hard-hearted. They don't consider it. They remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies. And so we see the evil corruption occurring within the modern descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh. Let's look at verse 8. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. He just cooked on one side. Aliens. Once again, we see those who are strangers or those who are non-Israelites have devoured his strength and he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and they're on him, yet he doesn't know it. Doesn't realize what is happening. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. They don't turn back to God. They don't look to God. And so they don't know what is happening. Let me give you some facts about the immigration issues that are also occurring. Not only here, but in Britain. And this is according to the immigration patterns in the United Kingdom. And this came out in a report that in Britain, 70% of the population increased from 2001 to 2011 due to foreign-born immigration. 70% of the increase in population came through foreign-born immigration there in Britain. Now, in the United States, this came from a report from CNN just recently. You could see these charts that they have listed there. But apparently, we legalize 990,000 people a year. That's almost a million people a year we legalize. That adds almost a million to the population every year. 14% come from Mexico and 7% come from China. In 2012, they estimated that there are 11.4 million who are illegals in this country. 59% are from Mexico. And so you see that this has an effect on the population. And this came out from this one report for the Center for Immigration Studies. They stated that by the year 2060, that's what, 45 years from now, 2060, U.S. population will reach 468 million, and that's due basically to the immigration at the current levels. Right now, what is it? About 320, 323, something like that. And so 468 million due to the immigration levels at current levels. So what's happening? Britain doesn't see what's going on. United, well, maybe some do, but we're seeing some of these prophecies take place. So as we see these things developing, and this is just one aspect of prophecy, and the among the other evils that we know are prophesied to come, let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and in verse 13. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. It isn't that we're saved right now. We have to endure to the end. We're going to have to live through a number of difficulties in life. And we're going to have to endure what's going to happen because of national sins. And we ourselves must be clear of sin. We got to make sure our heart is loyal to God. And we do see the evils around us. I'm sure we see that. We see the inequities that are occurring and the unfairness in around us. And it does perplex us. It discourages us from time to time. But we have to be righteous in our ways before God. Now, knowing that, you've got to realize that something else has to continue happening. Now, this verse in verse 14 is a verse we have heard over the years ever since I came in the church back in the late 1950s, with my parents. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's still a very valid verse and a viable verse. That is a statement from Jesus Christ that the gospel will be preached to all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. So that's a responsibility that has been given to the church. And it's not just to be preached in one or two countries, but into all the world as a witness. Never before has the world been connected to one source of media as has happened here within the last few years through the web, the World Wide Web. 40% of the world is now online. This year, the amount of people online rose from 2.3 billion to 2.9 billion in 1 year. So just a little less than a billion were added, and it continues to rise. And people are around the world are not just going to cafes where they could hook onto the web. Many of them have their mobile devices. And that's a big thing now, around the world where they have their mobile devices where they can access the web. So in all of this, what's happening? What does the church do? What is the church tasked to do? Hopefully, we all want to do what God wants. We need to do what God wants in our own lives. The world and this nation are following the influences of the devil, and they're going to reap the consequences of sin. The church, on the other hand, must continue to be righteous and to proclaim the gospel message. It's important that we once again look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Read verse 19 and 20. This is the commission that God gave the disciples and not only to the disciples back then, but this is the commission he has given to all the disciples throughout time. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Go you therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is the basis. This statement here in Matthew 24:14 is the basis of the mission statement of the Church of God. I want to read that mission statement because there's three things that are noted here. I'll just read it. Preach the gospel to the world as a witness. That's Matthew 24. That's what Matthew 24 tells us. Secondly, make disciples throughout the world of whom God may call. See, we don't go out trying to convert anyone. Only God can do that. Only God can grow his church. We can't do that. Only God can do that and open their minds. So we make disciples. We do follow through with when someone is called into the church. We do try to help them understand what they need to do in their lives. And that brings us to the third aspect of the mission statement, teach those disciples to observe all that Christ commands. So we teach. And that's why we're all being taught. We're being taught through the Bible every week on the Sabbath. We're taught through literature and through the church that we need to observe all that Jesus Christ has commanded. That's a hefty responsibility. God has tasked the church. But you see, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We must remember that. Jesus Christ will help us to do the will of God. Notice over in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, and verse 11. And he, this is referring to Christ, himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So Jesus has appointed some in the church to preach the gospel. An apostle is one sent forth, and evangelist to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel message. And others are appointed to help edify the body of Christ, such as the pastors and the teachers. And there's a reason for it. In verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, that's for all of us within the church. We're all part of one body, and we're being equipped to serve for the equipping of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all have to come to the unity of faith. We all have our own personalities, but our character must be the same. Must make sure we are telling the truth, that we are not getting into sin. Or as we heard earlier in the sermonette, the various things we have to avoid of jealousy and pride and envy. Those type of things. We all come to be edified in the body of Christ. Till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So even though the World Wide Web is a tremendous blessing to spread the gospel message, it also has many minefields of evil and false doctrine. And everybody and their uncle can get on there and put out their ideas of what they think is true and honest. And so we have to make sure we're no longer children and we're no longer swayed by every wind of doctrine. We must stay loyal to the truth of God as we've been taught. So with all this in mind, what I'd like to do for the remainder of the sermon then is to review the recently approved plans of the church, Worldwide Association of Church of God, for this coming year that were approved by the board, and the direction it will be taking. So there are eight different issues that were noted in the latest approval. The first five are something the church is going to have to look at every year. And the last three are long-term issues. So let me give you the first five that we will again be looking at this year and be focused on. Point number one, issue number one, is the mailing list and communication. Now, it's one of the things that the church has begun to do and is doing even more so this coming year is to develop a mailing list. Ever since the days of Mr. Armstrong, the church sent out coworker letters. Remember getting those from Mr. Armstrong? You know what's hard to believe? He died 29 years ago. That's almost 30 years. That's a whole generation. Sometimes I'll be sitting down with some teens and young adults and I'll talk about Mr. Armstrong and I'll say, we never heard him. And it makes me realize there's a generation out there who, I mean, if you're talking about someone who's in their early 30s, back, you know, born since then, never really remembered him. They've heard of him. So we want to continue, though, the tradition that had been set over the years that he would send out a letter, a mailing list that we had of baptized members. He would send member letters out. He would send co-worker letters out. Co-worker is one who is defined as one who contributes regularly and may even be attending church but has not yet been baptized. A donor is one who contributes just once in a while, may be attending church, but may once in a while. So the church wants to communicate regularly with members, co-workers, and donors. Now, right now, our database is almost complete. We have about 8,000 unique records. We have 11,000 email addresses. The goal this year is to identify the members, the co-workers, and the donors. See, what we want to do is to encourage those that God may be calling to continue in that calling and in that direction, to be able to offer various booklets and like the Discern magazine. We want to make sure that no one who is a member is left out of receiving member literature. So the goal of this year in regard to that is to develop that mailing list and to continue to communicate, and also is to publish two booklets. The booklet on the book of Revelation is almost complete. It's going through its final review process right now. It'll be sent out quite soon. The U.S. and Britain booklet is now being written, and that has is going to be the booklet that will be sent out later in the year. Discern magazine will be sent to all member households. We'll receive our own magazines. We currently print 5,000 of those magazines. Plan is to double that to 10,000. The second issue is that of the international work. The church believes that we need to include all areas together as a whole. We are not a regional church. We're not just here in Missouri and Illinois. We are part of something bigger than ourselves. We're part of an international work. We are the Worldwide Association. Church of God, a worldwide association. The president presides not only over the United States in day-to-day operations, but also international areas, and he has a liaison to help him, Mr. Leon Walker. The point is that the church wants the international areas to feel part of the church, that we're all one church. We just have different congregations. We have a congregation here, but we also have a congregation in Santiago, Chile. And we are congregations together. We're one body. We're not separated. We're only separated by distance. That's the only separation we have, only by distance. So there is a desire to send more ministers to these areas during the year. That'll take place. There's a need for leadership development in a lot of the international areas because more leaders are needed. We don't have as many leaders in those areas as we would hope. The international areas receives from the United States about 1.6 million in the year. But what's encouraging, and this is the first year this has started, that some of the international areas are now receiving enough tithes locally that they are now becoming self-sufficient in their area, and they are now looking forward and how they can help other international areas. And that has now been happening, and they're able to send extra monies to those other areas, and that helps the overall budget. Point number three, the other issue, are the media programs. In 1989, we were part of a $220 million work. Worldwide Church of God. 1989, $220 million. $48 million went to media and to editorial. They had a whole building just for editorial guys, just guys to write and to edit. And I mean, it was a major, when you're talking about The Plain Truth being millions of copies and all the other booklets, this was a major, major part of the work. $48 million went into that. Today we have a budget in which only a million, it's 10% of the budget, goes to the media. So we have to do with less and yet produce the most we can. So we will continue with Discern Magazine. We'll continue with the booklets and with the Life, Hope, and Truth website. We're also going to enhance our involvement with social media. This is a hot thing among a lot of the younger people. They go to Facebook and Twitter and all these different things, Instagram and that type of thing. And you know what many people do? They go to that source for their authority. If a whole bunch of people like something, oh, then they must like something. So I've got to go check that out. And that's their authority these days. And so we're doing our part to try to, you know, get the church at least noted in that particular social media. It's a different world than what it was a number of years ago when there's so much involvement with that. I mean, you see it around. You see even at the Winter Family Weekend, I mean, you notice a whole bunch of kids around and they're all exercising their thumbs, not talking to one another, but they're all on this social media. And not only that, I guess they were playing games. I don't know what they were doing, but still, it's a different world. Life, Hope, and Truth continues to have a steady rise in page views. In the last 30 days, there were over 1 million page views. Now, that can't be just from people in the church. Even if we sat all night long, you know, hitting the key to go to an article from the church members, that wouldn't rise to 1 million people, 1 million page views, where people will go to a view of a page and read it. So that just happened in the last 30 days. We're spreading the seed as what the parable of the sower and the seed. You know, some seed's going to fall on stony ground. We understand that. Some seed will fall on good ground, but we still must sow the seed. And so we have people coming onto the site from over 210 countries. We just got some statistics that we'll be sharing probably another week or so with the amount of people coming in from different countries. It's absolutely phenomenal, and that's through the web. We are planning on developing an advertising strategy with a member who is involved in that type of work. We have not had one yet because it's expensive, too expensive for that. So it's just been kind of word of mouth right now. The new studio is ready to go. There is going to be more video content for the Life, Hope, and Truth, including video series on various topics. So there'll be maybe, 10 to 12 different videos on a particular topic, such as the Middle Eastern prophecy. We'll have about 10 or so videos on that. What is the church? The Sabbath? The kingdom of God? The holy day plan? People today like to watch videos. And so that'll be part of the aspect of the development of Life, Hope, and Truth this coming year. Finally, in the media aspect, the editorial decision has been developed that all of our articles and all of our messages are to have a strong call to action. Now, we're not talking about a call to conversion. Like I said, only God calls to conversion. But an action. What are you going to do with what you just read? You know, here's something you can do. You can look at this article, or you can check out this booklet. Please send for this, or download. And there's going to be a lot more downloadable articles and booklets. So it encourage people. Here's an action step that you can now take with this information. And so, in other words, it's going to help the reader to do something with what they read or hear. In other words, want them to repent, like we all need to continue to repent and do the works of God. Again, it's not to convert. Only God can convert. But we can do our part to kind of guide, help someone say, okay, you might want to check this article out or check that article out, which would be helpful. Point number four, issue number four, is the leadership and ministerial development. The goals are to engage and train young adults. Now, years ago, we had Ambassador College, and that was a four-year program. We don't have that now. So a lot of the training for ministerial development is done locally now. There are monthly Friday night classes. Once a month, a Friday night class is given to the young adults, and anyone could log in on that if they want on a Friday night. And young adult weekends are being planned again for this President's Day weekend, which I hope all young adults will be able to go to those. Plus, there will be continued training for the pastoral ministry so that we're all speaking the same thing. In this year, the pastors are going to be able to access the FI online classes from Mr. Johnson about the Epistles of Paul classes. So that will be something that all of us will be listening to. And then Focus Mentoring Program, I think we're all aware of that, will continue with those from the first and the second years of the program. Of course, Mike and Roz Buchanan are on that this year. Of course, last year it was Mr. Justin and Deborah Adkins were on that the year before. And of course, we know what's happened to Mr. Adkins. He got hired. So he's working here and continues to work here and train here. So until he finds out where he will be going, whenever that is, or wherever that is. But right now, we're working together. Point number five is Foundation Outreach International. This outreach program is designed to help those in need, especially members in the international areas. It's to help people in computer training and speaking English or educational grants. Now, this is funded by monies other than tithes. In fact, all the projects for this coming year are now 75% funded. And that's been made possible by either congregational fundraisings or by matching corporate funds. So if someone is in a company that has matching corporate funds, usually corporations don't give money to churches, but they will give money to something like this, a Foundation Outreach International, and they'll do that. They'll match the fund. And so one new program that I thought was very interesting that was just unveiled here at the Winter Family Weekend was what was called Embark. Now, this will help young people find someone in the church who can help them in their career choice. For instance, there are so many people in the church today that are doing very well in their jobs. Some are teachers, some are speech pathologists, some are involved in financial planning. Some are involved in, having their own electrical companies, or, some are plumbers, and some, have all types of, there are all types of different occupations that members have. Well, a lot of young people, they don't really know what they want to do when they're, ready to go into college. So what can we do? So there's going to be something that's going to be worked on, some type of ability to help someone assess their likes and what they can get into. And here's a whole list of people in this particular area that you could contact. And they could give you some advice. So that's going to be something. We're going to have more information coming out on that. But I thought that could be very, very good for the whole church. Now the next issues, these are the 3.3 issues that are long-term. These are issues that have to be discussed on a regular basis. One is the office lease that we have in Allen, Texas. That was renewed for the next 2 years. It needs to be decided if we'll need to spend money on a larger facility or another option beside a lease. And we're currently maxed out in the office. They had to take part of the office and turn it into a mail room. And they had to add two more offices. We're at capacity with 19 employees at headquarters. Eventually, we're going to need more employees, five at least in the media, to continue, you know, developing the Life, Hope, and Truth and other things regarding media. Another person for helping in the financial area. Another person in FI to Foundation Institute for Online Education. Another one in mailing, and another one to help in ministerial services. So as things grow, you need to have some more help. But we can't add any more right now to the office because there's not that much room there. It's very tight. If you go in there, you could see the tightness of the office, but they all work together very well. All right, the next one, point number seven, the next long-term issue is FI, Foundation Institute will continue. However, it can only accept 20 students at a time because of the size of the room, and they meet upstairs of the headquarters. There's 19 this year. What is it? 5 boys and 14 girls. Yeah, Melissa's still here. You're going back tomorrow back to FI for the second session, second semester. So, but it is going to continue. But the question is, how can we expand this to the church? How can we expand it further? What kind of classes will still be needed? And this coming semester, they're planning more classes on life skills and leadership classes of how to help and to serve within the church areas when they come back into the church areas. We now have our own apartments, so students can be able to get to know each other better, and they can be helped more in that environment. So that's still going to continue. Now, the other thing, the last thing that is going to be an ongoing project is FI Online. That's Foundation Institute Online. Right now, we have Wednesday night classes for any member that wants to log in. That will continue. Dr. Levy is going through Jeremiah. We have 2,000 people registered for that class. Not everyone logs in on Wednesday night because it is later in the evening, especially on the East Coast when you log in at 9 o'clock. You know, you get tired at that time to try to focus, but a lot of people are able to download the class and listen to the classes later. But we're also looking at more online education. Not everyone can go to the FI program, so we want to make sure that these classes are available for all the members as well. So that'll be continual development on how that could work. In summary of the operation plans, Mr. Franks noted that we're all committed to working together, pitching in whatever necessary. What media does is help ministerial services. Ministerial services is actively involved in media, and there's this give and take between the two. Both communicate regularly with the treasurer, Mr. Britton Taylor. He's been tasked with overseeing the budget for the next year. The budget for the next year is set at $10.4 million. What's very interesting is that the budget last year, this past year in 2014, was for $10.26 million. In early December, it already reached $10.5 million for last year. So what that allowed us to be, the church to be able to do, and again, this, we cannot take God out of the picture here. This is God's blessing. Nothing we have done. This is God's work, God's blessing. We were able to set aside a full reserve of 8 weeks, and that is now fully funded. And so anything extra that comes in can truly go into the other aspects of the church, and especially into the media, which I know needs to be bolstered even more. So God has blessed us that way. He's blessed us with the income, and I think he's blessed, I think we better not forget that it is God that's doing this, and we want to always acknowledge him in everything that we do. There's no let up in the work that God has given us. Over in Luke 12, let's look at Luke 12. Luke 12, and in verse 42, Luke 12, verse 42. The Lord said, these are the words of Jesus Christ, this applies to us. Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? It's a question. Who is it? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. We are involved, all of us. Now, we may not be the ones writing the articles or doing the speaking, but we're involved more than we realize. I think we realize that we have an individual responsibility of setting the right example at work, school, wherever we are, 24 hours a day. We have to set the right example of living God's way of life. We do support the church by our prayers. We do that. God's blessed us with jobs, and that first tithe is God's money, and that goes to help the work. But not only that, we come every week to support each other. We need the encouragement from one another. We need to pray for one another that God will help us all. We have had prayer requests. We all are one family. You know, we all are one congregation here. We all, you know, help and encourage one another here, but we also hear about others in other congregations. And God wants us all to be together. We're one group. We could not exist as a church without members. We're members of God's church, so we're all here because of the will of God. And so we want to pray that God will guide us in everything that we do, direct us in everything that we have to do in our own personal lives, and as we heard earlier, to have a malleable heart, a heart that is soft, so we can do God's work more and more. So as the world and the nation goes in the directions of these prophecies, and they descend into that prophecies that result from disobedience to God's law, the church has to move in the other direction. The church has to move into the direction of doing God's will, of being righteous, and of preaching the gospel. You and I have a part of being in this great work that's going on in the earth. So as we move forward together in this coming year, we've got to do our part individually and collectively. And let's conclude then with what God told the faithful servant over here in Matthew 25. And I believe that all of us, when we look at this scripture, we all want this to be said of us. And not only of us, but all of our fellow members together. We all would want to hear this said to everyone. Matthew 25, verse 23. This, of course, was in the parable of the talents, but notice what his Lord said to him when his talents grew. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's going to be one great time to hear these words when Christ returns and tell us and everyone else in the church that we know that, you know, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So may that day come soon.